Over the past few months, but especially the last couple of days, what has been dominating social media and black Twitter and black culture is the story of these Diddy parties and how so many things that are not the best of things have been going down, such as sex trafficking, a lot of homosexual behavior, etc., etc. And as I was listening to this, it's sad. It's sad to see so many folks sitting here going through this and battling this and actually experiencing this. But it also gives us a glimpse into how the enemy works. So we're going to talk about how this correlates to spiritual warfare, how Diddy parties and the things that happen and the stories that are coming out is related to spiritual warfare. So let's talk. Well, I have your ears and eyes. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Help support the channel. Help us grow. Help us crack this algorithm. A comment, a like, and sharing it will help us out immensely. So, the most recent victim of the Diddy Party rumor and case is Meek Mill, and they're talking about what he experienced. But if you go all over Twitter or all over X, they call it now, I can't help but still call it Twitter, you see stories about different people in here going to these parties and different folks, celebrities and names being dropped in court documents. You see Usher, whose name was redacted from court documents, along with Meek Mill, participating in a lot of sexual activity at these parties, these top secret parties. And numerous people have been implicated in this. Justin Bieber, Odell Beckham, and it's also in the church. T.D. Jakes, Lecrae said he even went to a party. So this is really a widespread and probably and well-known event that happens within the entertainment industry. And I feel like what this is for many is kind of a rite of passage. That if you are to unlock and to go into a certain level of society, you are going to need to give up something. And if you're going to reach a certain level of the entertainment industry, there is something that needs to be done. There's some activity, something that's going to be a cause to you for you to do it. And I think a lot of people who have been caught up in this, it's a desire to be known. It's a desire to be at that elite level. It's a desire to make millions and billions. And they were willing to sacrifice a little bit of time or whatever that may be, that the cost that they have to give up in order to make it. It's scary to see how we live in a society that is so thirsty for clout and so thirsty for lights and influence that they're willing to sell their souls. Like, clout is worse than crack. Like, as much as people sit there and talk about drugs, but clout is just as bad as that the desire for clout is just as worse as a drug addiction. And we're sitting here sacrificing and paying money and doing this and doing that just for clout. If you look back, honestly, think about the church. This DJ fiasco for New Year's Eve and different things that they're doing in their sermons and compromising the gospel to be more relevant. That they're willing to sit there and sacrifice and pay the cost in order for themselves to achieve and to reach a certain level of society. You see, us as Christians, we cannot be conformed to this world. We cannot allow ourselves to conform to the patterns of this world where likes have become a new idol, views have become a new idol, money is an idol, where all these things, popularity have become an idol, where we're sitting there, we're more concerned with being popular than getting into heaven. We're more concerned with having thousands and millions of likes than for us to be true to the word of God, that we are willing to compromise, willing to sell ourselves, willing to do things that we don't normally do just to be able to get a level of likes and to get to a certain level of followers and influence. As believers, we must be counterculture. We can't allow ourselves to fall into that, because what happens is these things that we are willing to sacrifice, the things we're willing to compromise in, and these are the things the enemy is going to use to have access to our lives. I've heard stories of pastors and preachers who are sitting here when they guest preach at different churches, there's a contract. You can't talk about this. You can't talk about homosexuality. You can't talk about this and that and this and that, because the pastor knows his church and knows if we talk about homosexuality, if we talk about adultery, if we talk about stealing, that's going to kind of affect their church membership. And they don't want to affect that membership. That those who give and tithe, I need them in my church, so you can't touch on those topics. The goal is not discipleship. The goal is membership. The goal is to have people come to church and say, hey, my church is packed. I got all these folks in my church. So I think it's very important that we learn how to continue to not compromise. And if I offend you by saying what God is telling me to do, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to backtrack to what God's telling me to say. I'm not going to change my mind. Whatever God tells me to say, I'm going to spit that out there. Whatever word the Lord has for me and has for you, it may not be liked or popular, but it's going to be said. So I think we have to understand, us as Christians, our goal is never to be cool. We should be relevant. In a sense, since we have the ability to impact the world, but we're not the world. We're not saying we should be squares. We should not have fun, should not be cool. I'm not saying that, because in Christ there's fun, there's being cool. We also understand that our priority is not to offend God, right? So a lot of it is people willing to compromise and saying, listen, this is what I want. I want to be popular. I want to have all this. So I'm willing to preach, to not touch on that topic and not touch on this. We have churches in 2024. This blew my mind, that actually sits here and allows the church to write their sermon, a board to write out their sermon. That what they're preaching on Sunday is something that is written by certain speech writers, certain members of the team, that their revelation is not a fresh revelation. They're not saying what God has told them to go. They're simply a figurehead just to make sure that they could protect their status and not talk on certain things. So like this story about the Diddy party, it struck me, because a lot of things that happen in culture always, you know, in my mind, you know, and as I prepare to share on this page, it's things that connect, like this happens in culture and it connects to the Bible and to what God is doing. And we can't ignore the signs. We can't be unwise and see what's going on and not allow it to change our lives and for it to do what God has called us to do. So we sit here and I watch this and like, yo, dang, this is crazy. This is sad. To see all these artists that are on the verge of being canceled and on the verge of just being exposed. People in church, bishops and artists are being exposed for what they're doing in this whole Diddy party fiasco. And it teaches me a very valuable lesson about spiritual warfare. It reminds me that whatever the enemy is going to give you is going to cost you. You see, God gives us salvation freely. God gives us John 3:16 freely. It won't cost us anything. It won't cost us a level of you have to sacrifice yourself. You have to sacrifice for the gospel, but salvation is free, right? You can't earn it. That's what I'm looking for. You can't earn it. You can't earn anything that God has given you. You can't earn salvation. But the devil wants you to earn what he gives you. He wants you to prove yourself. He wants you to give up something of yourself in order for you to follow him. You see, either way, if you're going to follow God or follow the devil, each path is going to cost you something, right? God says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. The devil himself will not ask you to pick up your cross. He'll tell you the opposite. He said, embrace yourself, right? Lift yourself up, but give me your child. Give me your sexuality. Give me some of your money. Give me a place in your life. Give me a place in your heart. He will cause you to be at debt to him that you could never pay back. Because all he wants is access in our lives. He wants a place in our lives. The one thing he'll always seek from us, the main thing the enemy will seek from us, people of God, please listen, is our worship. He wants us to worship him. Worship is not singing to him at his feet. Worship is giving him a position. Because now that he realizes that he cannot get worship in heaven, he is going to settle for us to worship him on earth. From the very beginning of time, it had been a battle for worship in heaven. Look at the story of the Hebrew boys. The tension in the text occurred when the king passed an edict that every time a song is being played, they must get down and worship the statue. And the Hebrew boys refused to do it, and that led them before the king and caused them to get thrown into the fire. There's always been a fight for worship. When he tempted Jesus Christ, he said, Christ, this all could be yours. Just bow down and worship me. The devil is wanting our worship, and worship is not a song. Worship is not a rhythm. Worship is a position. So when I say something is going to cost you, he's like, listen, I want you to throw everything away and worship me. Put me, in terms of the devil, above everything else. It reminds me of a story that I heard a long time ago about a person in Haiti. And a person in Haiti had an issue. When this guy had an issue, the issue came and it affected him. And as the issue affected him, he got to a place and said, you know what? I tried everything and I can't find no help. So I'm going to a witch to find a solution. And when he went to the witch and found a solution, the witch said, yep, I can help you out, but it's going to cost. Right? And the devil and the witch said, it's going to cost you. And the man said, okay, whatever you want. I'm tired of dealing with this issue. Whatever you want me to pay, I'm willing to pay it in order to get this resolved. He says, the witch then turns around and says, it's going to cost you your daughter. I want you to give your daughter to me. In essence, I want your daughter to worship me and have her belong to me. And the guy scratches his head after a while, thinks about it, like, yo, this is crazy, but I'm tired of going through this. He then eventually agrees and says, yo, all right, you can have her. So days pass by and time passes by, and the guy's like, yo, we got an issue. There's no resolution. Why am I still dealing with this issue? I said, you know, you told me the cost. I came to you, said you're going to fix it. You said you're going to be able to help me out. You told me the cost. I was willing to pay the cost. What happened? He said, yo, bro, I can't help you because your wife, your daughter's mother, have been praying for her so much that I can't even lay hands on her. I can't even find her. So I can't have her. This shows the power. It's why we should pray without ceasing. It's why we should get to a place where we always continue to pray and understand the power in God. But it also shows that when the devil wants to give you something, it's always going to be a cost. You're always going to find a way, because this cost will constantly give him access to you. Access to your life, access to your family, access to your bloodline. We need folks to stand up and say, I'm not paying that cost. Devil, I'm not coming. I'm not even coming to you for anything that the cost for me has been paid on the cross. There's no need for me to pay you anything, because the God that I serve has the ability and power to give me victory over whatever I have. Satan, I'm not coming to you. I'm good. I'm good, dog. I got God. And God will fight my battles for me. God will be there for me and give me the victory. I ain't got to give my daughter to God or sacrifice my child to God for God to fight for me. So I want you to understand, like, This is the same thing that goes on spiritual warfare. That a lot of people in this place felt this was a rite of passage, and they were so thirsty for a level of influence that they compromised and they sacrificed themselves. They sacrificed what they believed in just to get to a certain level. And oftentimes we're going to have that issue. It may not be on that same level, but it could be, are you willing to compromise to get a raise? Are you willing to compromise in order for your family to be in a better place? Well, you know, listen, I can help you out, but you got to cheat. You got to steal. You got to, you can't say the name of Jesus, but I could get you a gigs on TBN. I can, you can't say Jesus, but I could help you get to a spot where you get a promotion, become a VP in a business, but you can't talk about Jesus. You know, you can't go to church anymore. You know, because you're so focused on getting that promotion. It's going to cost. And we're so hell-bent on running from sin, but not understand we also are in a war. And one of the things the enemy does in a war, that he fights to get access to us, because he wants access to our heart and to our lives to control us. He wants to control us, right? The Bible says when the enemy leaves, trying to find a dry place, doesn't find a dry place. But when he comes back, he comes back with six more stronger than him, right? Because he wants to come back and he needs a place to live. He wants access. He wants to be able to use you. He don't come into your mind. He comes into your heart to control you. So I think it's important for us to realize that, man. Like, it's crazy, man. When you see these stories and things and these clips and these videos and all this stuff that's going down, bro, it's crazy. It's a madness, man, to see all this type of stuff. But this is an opportunity for teaching that you should not be willing to compromise, because compromise will cost you. You may get what you want, but it's going to cost you. And the devil, he does not give you a get out of jail early pass. He does not get to the point like I bother her too much. I kept her bound too much. Let me let her go. No, he like make sure he gets every single thing out of you and your bloodline. You have to understand that's why it's dangerous to sleep around. Fornication is dangerous because what happens is that you're exposing yourself to demons. You're giving the devil an opportunity to invade your life. Why am I so depressed all the time? Why am I so angry? Why can't I do well in school and grow and do well in my career? Why can't I keep my own apartment? Why can't I save money? The devil has access to you, and you gave him access. You gave him access. Because you are so desperate to say, listen, I need to make it. Drugs, weed, access points. We must avoid. Because the goal is that if you give the devil access in your life, only the spirit and power of God through prayer and fasting and God coming down will be able to set you free. We are walking around bound by the enemy and by the enemy that we gave access to our lives. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you agree to. Make sure you have integrity. Don't be sleeping around unless it's your husband. Don't be smoking weed. Don't be smoking any other type of drugs, because the devil wants access to your life. And what he does, he dangles the fruit. That's what he does. Look at all this. You're going to have all this influence. You have all these record sales. You have all this power. All you got to do is sleep around. All you got to do is do something that you normally don't think is right. But in that environment, you say, I have to do it. If I don't do it, I can't go platinum. So we have to be careful, because this story has no boundaries. His children and all this type of stuff going on. God's a gracious God. At the end of the day, God could cause him to repent. If this is true, again, at this point, it's all accusations. But things are starting to add up to see like this puzzle is about to be completed. Regardless of what it is, the same God that could restore and help give Diddy the grace to repent. The same God that can help you out. If you're listening like, yo, I'm bound right now. Like, this is me. Like, the devil has access to my life. It's not too late for you. Come to God and say, God, I want to be free. Not only if you come to God and say, God, I want to be free, God will set you free. But the most important part is to sit here and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come into my life. We come to God and say, God, I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being addicted to weed. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of this. And God gives us freedom, right? But then we have to make this choice and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to dominate my life and to live inside of me. So when those demons come back, they find your life filled up. It's like, oh, no access. No access. So I just want to use this time to share this with you guys and kind of just bring two things together just to prove a point. Be careful of what you're getting access to. Don't allow greed. Don't allow greed to cause you to compromise and allow demons to have access to your lives. Obey God, trust God, and say, God, listen, whatever you want, wherever you want, I will go. Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share this with somebody who you think is going through some stuff. Make sure you, again, like, subscribe. Let's talk, have a convo in the comments. I appreciate you. God bless you. Peace.